verses, but I can't help it today. We're going to read in John chapter 20. And our reading starts from verse 1 up to verse 23. Zena, did you bring your Bible? Please join me here for the reading. Zena has the Amplifier version, so we're going to hear what he says there.
Right, from verse 1 to 23. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been removed from lifted out of the groove across the entrance of the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, whom Jesus tenderly loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Upon this, Peter and the other disciple came out, and they went toward the tomb. And they came running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and arrived at the tomb first. And stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not enter. Then Simon Peter came up, following him, and went into the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. But the burial napkin, kerchief, which had been around Jesus' head, was not lying with the other linen cloths, but was still rolled up, wrapped round and round in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, went in too, and he saw and was convinced and believed. For as yet they did not know, understand the statement of Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went back again to their homes, lodging places. But Mary remained standing outside the tomb sobbing. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you sobbing?" She told them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." On saying this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know, recognize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying so? For whom are you looking?" Supposing that it was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you carried him away from here, tell me where you have put him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Turning around, she said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher or master. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Away came Mary Magdalene, bringing the disciples news, word that she'd seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. Then on that same first day of the week, when it was evening, though the disciples were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace to you." So saying, he showed them his hands and his side. And when the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy, delight, exultation, ecstasy, rapture. Then Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. Just as the Father has sent me forth, so am I sending you." And having said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now having received the Holy Spirit and being led and directed by him, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. But if you retain the sins of anyone, they are retained.
Amen. God bless you, sister. Let's pray. Our Lord and King, We come to you this afternoon with our hearts full of gratitude for what you have achieved for us to live. Thank you for accepting to substitute yourself into us, human beings, sinful people. You took our place upon that cross. Amen. You died for us. But we are glad that the tomb could not hold you. Death could not hold you.
Amen.
You rose and you are alive.
Praise God.
That's why we are celebrating today.
Amen.
And we thank you for the provision of the cross. We thank you for the power of resurrection.
Yeah.
As we are about to hear your word, oh Lord, move in the midst of us.
Amen.
Heal those who need healing.
Amen.
Physical healing.
Yeah.
Spiritual healing.
Yeah.
Those who need a touch from you, Father. Don't let them come out of this place without being touched by you.
Amen.
And meet every single need in this place. Give us clarity, Father, of your word. And let this word change forever our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. It's a great joy today for me to meet Leon and Melanie, Suzanne. May God bless you.
Praise God.
I was reading my Bible and a new light broke and I saw something that blessed my heart. That's what I'm about to share with you today. As I was meditating, I was as well listening to the last message I preached here. And somehow there is a connection between that message and this message. You can remember that last time I stood here, I spoke about the greatest love Jesus manifested to his own, his disciples, talking about agape and phileo. In what we saw that day, the Bible said that having loved his own to the highest degree, he died for them.
Yeah.
Having loved us to the highest degree, he took our place upon that cross. He died for us. Can any friend do that for you and me? I don't know. But Jesus did.
Amen.
Before dying for his disciple, for me and you, something happened, something that is not really good. And that's what we're talking about today. From verse 1, the Bible is presenting a course of events, what happened on the day Jesus came out of that tomb. The Bible says that Mary and other women went to the tomb early morning. When they got there, they couldn't see Jesus' body. And I believe that on the way, they were wondering who's going to roll that big stone for them. But they were shocked. Arriving there, the stone was away. But the big surprise was there inside. Only the cloth were remaining. The body was no longer there. I love this text. The first thing I want to draw your attention to is the attitude Mary had. The attitude of Peter, as well as the attitude of John, when all of them were there. The Bible presents this lady saddened, crying. Her mind was very, very occupied. But the person who took her Lord away, the person who stole the body of her Lord, and her desire was to just to get that body back. She might have asked herself many questions, such as, who took that body away? But she didn't have a clue, and nobody was there to help her. Even later on, when Jesus spoke to her, she thought that he was a gardener. And she asked him, saying, sir, if you know, if you're the one who took the body of my Lord away, just tell me where you put that body for me to go and take it. Peter, when he got there, he was under shock as well. The Bible is not saying much about him. He got there, surprised, the body of Jesus was no longer in that tomb. He noticed the cloth there. He kept quiet. Suddenly, he turned and went back. But it happens that John, I assume he was younger than him, he ran faster than him. He got to the tomb first. He could see what was in the tomb, just the cloth. He didn't have the courage to go inside. He stood there, watching, looking. Though Peter, when he got there, he went straight inside. After that, John could follow. The attitude here of John, the Bible says, he went inside. He saw the cloth. Normally, I think there were two parts of cloth. The one wrapping the whole body except the head, and the other wrapping just the head. But it happens that the two were not at the same place. They were separated. John, amazed, shocked, he stood there, looked at those cloths, and the Bible says he believed in verse 8. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. Now, check this out. Mary were crying, shocked, because the body was stolen. Peter could not say any word I don't know what was going on in him. Maybe he was reminding himself how he denied Jesus 3 times. How he acted cowardly before Jesus was killed. Now the situation is becoming even worse because even that body is stolen. But John was seeing something else. He was not crying, but he was observing. And here I assume that maybe he was reminding himself all the prophecies found in Isaiah. How the Messiah, though he's going to die, but on the third day, he will rise from the dead. And the fact of seeing those cloth there, it seems as if he could see a miracle happened for those cloth to be just left like that. He saw the miracle through the presence of those cloth. Because if Jesus was remaining a dead person, the person who took him away was meant to carry him in those dead people's clothes. John saw the miracle. And that's what happens when you come in God's presence. The knowledge that you have might determine your attitude in God's presence. You can come in God's presence being discouraged because you're going through a period which is not pleasant in your life. I love the song we sang here, "I'll Fly Like an Eagle." The last verse is saying, though I'm hating Jesus, we remain my Savior and Lord. It's so powerful. When you're going through situations that you find even difficult to open your mouth and say a word before the Lord, you ask yourself many questions. Is God real? And if He's real, does He really know me personally? Can He see my situation? The things that I'm going through? How my world is falling apart? Can He see all of this? And that's why many of us, we become discouraged and we can even deny Him. We can doubt of Him. But even mountains fall, He will remain my Savior and Lord. Amen. We have to remind ourselves things that He did for us in the past. When we cross in the valley of weeping, the valley of Baca. When we have many questions without any answer, we have to look back and think what He has done for us. May God help us. I love the passion of Mary. She really loved Him. And her one desire was to find that body. But praise God, Jesus was alive. And no far, He was there. He spoke to her. And when He called her by name, she recognized that the Messiah was alive. The Messiah was there, right talking to her. The second thing that I want to mention is the heart or the power of forgiveness. In verse 17, the Bible says, Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren." In other Bible, it says, "Go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Matthew, when he's relating the same story in Matthew 28, he presents and narrates what happened with a slight change. He says this, Matthew 28, verse 10, "Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." I want to highlight just one small thing, brothers or brethren. Jesus gave the message to Mary and asked her to go to the disciples and to tell them to meet with him to Galilee. But now, check this out. These disciples ran the way when they came to arrest Jesus. They all abandoned him. Though for 3 years, he was investing love and everything in them. When they were starving, he fed them. He was there for them day and night. In time of crisis, in time of danger, they run away. That's how human we are. Usually we show our friendship, our loyalty, when everything is roses, when everything is okay. But when the danger comes, you start assessing the risks and usually, we abandon our friends, our partners, our pastor. May God help us. Jesus rose from the dead, and he is calling those people who abandoned him, people that he was meant to call cowards, betrayers, the runaways, the false friends. He called them brothers. Do you get that now? He called these people brother. I think it was time to vindicate himself and maybe to prove to those people that for 3 years I was with you. You were meant to stand by my side, to watch my back. You ran away. I'm going to choose other disciples. No, he didn't do that. He forgave them. And he even loved them more by calling them his own brothers. And to give them more confidence and assurance, he said, "I'm about to ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." the power of forgiveness. He forgave. That is one of the benefits of the resurrection of Jesus. And that power is even here today. You can receive the power to forgive all those who have abandoned you when you needed them the most in your life. Today you can receive that power to forgive anything. I shared this morning at Molby the story that is not a strange story in Rwanda where my mission field is. You know what happened in Rwanda in 1994? How entire families disappeared through the genocide. But praise God, in some families, you found one or two people who managed to escape, who are still alive. What the church is doing is to try to reconcile those victims and the killers. And this same power of forgiveness, this power of resurrection, is tangible in Rwanda. There is this man of God, he's an evangelist. He saw how the other guy killed his father, mother, brothers, and sisters. The day he knew that the guy was in the prison, he went to meet that killer, that murderer. And guess what happened? He forgave the guy. Say, what you did was evil. You took away my entire family. But Jesus forgave me. I'm forgiving you as well. After a certain time, the murderer came out of the prison. But by God's grace, he gave his life to Jesus while in prison. And today, he's working as the assistant of that evangelist. Can you believe it? It's a reality. They work in hand in hand, evangelizing, preaching the good news. Can you do that? That is a provision of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you become Jesus' friend, his father become your father. His God become your father. And the same power that was working in you. But you have to collaborate. And the first step is to accept Jesus in your life. When you invite him in your life, he becomes then your friend. He becomes your brother. You can go through thick and thin in life. People, your best friend, here on earth can abandon you, but Jesus will be there with you. You might not physically see him, but spiritually he will be there to comfort you, to tap on your shoulder, to give you new strength. The challenge that the church has today, we have to double check ourselves. How much are we forgiving those who are doing us wrong? think a little bit. Have you ever been hurt by somebody in your life? Have you ever shown love and in return you harvest hatred, lack of recognition? The Lord is challenging me and you to forgive to that extent. To get to the place of calling those that we holding something against them today in our heart, to be in the position of calling them our brothers, our brethren. Amen. Because to be a Christian is to be like Christ. It's a shame sometimes to see some Christians are unable to forgive. They say, I can forgive you anything else but not this one. We cannot be Christians without manifesting or demonstrating that power of resurrection in us. Because we're no longer the same people that we were before meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. We are new creatures in Him. He forgave those He died for, those who abandoned Him, those who killed Him. So we can, because He's alive. Not only in heaven, but alive in me and you. On Good Friday, we had a march in Molby. Churches together came and member they came. So we were just proclaiming what Jesus did for us, how He took our place on the cross, how He died and rose again. And at the end of the march, everybody was really excited and grateful for what Jesus did. But it happens that in that part of the world, two of the ministers had differences in the past. And they're holding something against one another. And they are not able or ready to forgive one another. So we had to step in, try to reconcile them. But one of them said, no way. I was confused. So confused. If two ministers are unable to forgive one another, because in the past one accused the other that he's a witch, and the other accused the other that your church is a sect. And today they preached. I wonder what kind of message they brought to the people of God. We cannot be part of Christ's family without forgiving one another. Thank God, among the two, one is willing to let it go and to forgive and forget. But the other is not ready yet. He said, yet. I won't. All the singing and everything is rubbish if we cannot identify ourselves to the one we're proclaiming. Everything we can do, if we are unable to forgive, it's nothing. He forgave everything. And He called them brothers. Go and tell my brothers. And guess what? That is the first message they heard from Jesus, calling them brothers. Peter heard it, but it didn't really sink deep inside his heart, because he was still holding his own guiltiness. How? 3 times he denied him. After even seeing him, meeting him, at a certain point he was discouraged and wanted to return to his old job. And somehow he had company. Some of the disciples came along, and they couldn't catch anything until the Messiah came and said, "No, you throw your net at the wrong side, throw it on the other side." He loved up to that level, up to that point. May God help us. I thank God that we are not into rituals, though we are celebrating today. For some, they call it Easter, the resurrection of Christ. Others, they refuse to call it Easter. They call it Pascha, taken from Passover, because they don't want to associate the resurrection of Christ with any name taken from pagans. In either way, even we call it Easter or Pascha, but what is behind it? Is it just a mere ritual, or in our march toward heaven, we approaching closer to our Master's character, our Master's nature? How did you prepare yourself for this day, for this celebration? And after this day, how your life is going to be? The same old Zina, or the new one from today? The same old Bill, or the new one, the brand new one from today? The same old Leon, or the new one? Susan? The brand new Susan. Our God is not into rituals, but through seasons, we can see his miracle today. Years ago, as into and decide from today to be willing to forgive anything that anyone can do wrong against us. You know, my pastor, I can do something wrong to you. After doing that, as I'm the one who did something wrong to you, I hurt your heart, I will go and continue my life as if nothing has happened between me and you. You're the one who are going to suffer from what I did. If you don't let it go, you'll continue to suffer, to be the prisoner of what I did. And where I'm going to be, I will be continuing my life normally, enjoying myself, laughing, dancing maybe because Africans, we love to dance, doing my usual stuff. So, as a Christian, if you don't let it go, you're going to suffer. It will affect your performance at work. It's going even to affect your relationship with your partner or your children in your family. We are called to forgive. And that is my prayer for the church today. If you can connect yourself to Christ's resurrection, then choose to forgive. Maybe you're saying, nobody has done anything wrong to me. But as you're still here on earth, I'm not prophesizing upon your life that something has to come wrong. Something might happen. Remember, you belong to Christ's community, Christ's family. You are Jesus' brother or sister. You are his brother. He forgave. You can forgive as well. Let it go. Just let it go. Don't continue to hold it against your brother or your sister. But ask God to strengthen you, to give you a heart to forgive and to love that same person. May God help us. Hallelujah. At the end, Jesus gave them a commission. In verse 21, so Jesus said to them again, Shalom Alehem, or peace upon you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And he added something, verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you return the sins of any, they are returned. It's curious to see that giving that recommendation, saying that as my Father sent me, I'm also sending you. He could ask them to do many other things, but he spoke here about forgiveness. Any person you forgive the sins, they will be forgiven as well. Without forgiveness, we are not Christians. Without forgiveness, we cannot identify ourselves to Christ. Choose to forgive.